Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman, and we're the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space where open, honest, and transparent conversations are the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we're not holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode.
Erica, what's good, what's popping, and what's happening? What's right with you today, friend?
You know what? I love this question. I'm never prepared for it. what is right? Okay, so you know what? You know how Snapchat, actually, I have like not been on Snapchat in a while, unless I want to use a little filter for a little selfie, but it loves to be reminding you of like 4 years ago. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, what you did on this day and who was it? So I would like to say I have really glowed up, okay? And let me just brag on myself for a second. I was looking at the Snapchats and was like, girl, your hair has gotten way longer. You have lost some weight. You look good. Your skin has cleared up. You have achieved more than you thought you were going to achieve in a short period of time. Girl, that's what's right with me. I have glowed up. Despite, you know, the trials and tribulations, that's what's right with me. Your girl has glowed up. What about you?
And you have. I mean, you was always fine. You just getting fatter like wine. So let's be clear. Let's be distinct. What's right with me? Honestly, friend, I think what's right with me, or I know what's right with me, is I'm just really proud of how I have improved my physical health. So in high school and college, I used to work out a lot. And then I graduated and I was like, you know what? I'm thin. I'm skinny. I don't have to work out. And I didn't. But what happened was I was experiencing, like, I feel like a type of brain fog where I would just be tired all the time. And then why was I tired walking long periods of time? Okay. That's a problem. I'm 5'2", 110 pounds, soaking wet. So why am I tired? And honestly, at the beginning of the top of the year, I just had a lot going on in general. So in April, I committed to working out 4 days a week, at least 30 minutes a day. And I have been consistent for at least 3 months. And honestly, I am so proud of myself. I feel mentally and emotionally like healthier, happier, and lighter. And I feel more toned, and the ass is assing. So I don't really have any complaints. Your girl is looking good. Okay. Erica's laughing at me. But your girl is looking good. She's feeling great. She's feeling fine. The DMs have been popping lately because your girl has been posting some fire pictures and they've been getting ignored. But I just want to submit that to the congregation that what's right with me is I have been consistent for 3 months and I feel amazing. All DMs are not welcome, but some are. Talk to God before you slide in there. Okay.
Just ask me the question of the day so we can go.
Lord, okay. Girl, I forgot about the question of the day. Here we go. I was like, that was the question. Sorry. Okay, back to business. Being the professional that I am. Okay, Erica, what would you attempt to do if you knew you would not fail?
Okay, simple. I would play the winning lotto numbers, but for real. If I knew I was going to win, that's what I would do tonight. But in reality, I would go after my wildest, biggest dreams. I would probably slide into my celebrity crush's DMs, you know.
Okay.
But I definitely... most likely would fulfill my dreams in interior design. Like, have my own show on HGTV, have a design studio, have a showroom, have a home essentials product line. Like, girl, the list goes on and on and on. That's what I would personally do if I knew failure was not going to happen. What about you?
I too would slide up in my celebrity crush's DM so I can go ahead and lock that in and like that down. If we not feeling it, he gonna see it. And you, if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't. But you probably know. But I think if I could not fail, I would host a travel and food show. That's what I would do. There are two things that I love to do. I love to catch a flight, ask Erica, because I'd be like, Erica, let's go here. She'd be like, Shubba, that's not in our budget. And I'd be like, YOLO! And she'd be like, no. We are adults. We have responsibilities. And I'd be like, where? Anyway, I don't know what's wrong with me today. But I would host a show that dealt with traveling food. And I think a part of it would be just like trying new places, whether local or statewide or international, as well as just trying different foods. And I would really want to interview a diverse range of people. So not just like white and Caucasian people, but like, you know, Black women, Black men, Mexican men, white men, Asian people, and just hear about different people's, you know, experiences. So a part of it would be like, a part of the show would be like, you know, interviewing people based on their experiences. And then a segment would talk about food. Cause if your girl don't do nothing else, she gonna pull up to the table and eat. And then also just showcasing different places. Because I think a lot of times, particularly people of color, they don't travel as much and they don't necessarily sometimes expand their food palette. But I think if they saw different people and different cultures and diversity doing it, then they would be more open and willing to. And I think that that would just be a way to enlarge people, to make people more open-minded and try different things and work toward different things. So that's what I would do if I could not fail.
Yeah, I think that's dope. I like that idea. So y'all, you know what? We're going to put that into the atmosphere. We're going to put that on our prayer list. Okay, so let's get started with the show, with our first segment of the day, which is dating and relationships. So Shelby, today we're going to talk about societal pressures when it comes to dating. So examples would be like, oh, you need to be married by a certain age, etc. So first, before you answer, I want to give by definition what societal pressure means. So it means we might think that it is imperative to date or get into a relationship that we know isn't enriching and long-lasting out of the need to belong, or the pressure of conformity, or fear of being left out and ridiculed. So Shelby, what are your thoughts about this? Has societal pressures impacted your dating life? Or what's the best advice you can give someone who is dealing with these pressures?
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, I think a couple things. I'm all over the place, but here we go. Here's my ramble. A couple things. I think I'm fortunate that overall my family does not really pressure me about marriage, and I don't really feel like they put me up against societal pressures. I think more so in my 20s, I put myself in societal pressures because I thought that I was going to be married by X age, have X amount of kids, and, you know, be living this white picket fence life without a dog. And if you know, you know. But that didn't happen for me. And I used to be like, what is wrong with me? Like, why haven't I settled down? Why haven't I gotten married? And seeing other people settle down and other people get married, like people that you wouldn't even think would get married. And if you know, you know. Okay. And so I think I was really hard on myself in my 20s. But let me tell you something. Your girl hit 30 and something switched in me. And if I'm being honest, I told my mom this one day. I said, if I had gotten married in my 20s, I was not emotionally mature enough to probably stay married. I probably would have fucked it up because I just was not mature. I was very selfish. And I was really worried about catching a flight and being cute. Like, that's what I was worried about, and maybe having a little thing on the side. Okay. But I also, and I think that we continue to grow and evolve, but I also wasn't very sure and confident about like what I wanted and needed for a person. Like, I don't think I had grown, evolved, and seen enough of life in the world, you know? So that's what I say about that. So I think for now, my dad has asked me, you know, when are you gonna get married? And my granny has asked me, when are you gonna get married? But as far as my mom and the rest of my family, they haven't really asked me. Now, they ask everyone, like, are you dating or do you want to get married and do you want to have kids? And, you know, my answer to that is like, yeah, I do want to get married and I do want to have a family and I do want to have children. But I do not want to be with somebody just to be with somebody. And I would rather be single and by myself before I accept a piece of a man. So I'm at a person stage in my life where I currently don't really care about societal pressures because I'm more concerned with being with somebody that is for me versus being with somebody that's a project or being with somebody I got to worry about or being with somebody that I got to monitor. I don't have time for that. And so I think the way that I've dealt with that is instead of like waiting on a person to live my life, I've continued to live my life. So whatever that is for you. And for me, living my life is progressing in my corporate career. That's traveling, you know, that's having certain projects, personal projects, professional projects, career projects. That's continuing to go out and do things that I like, taking myself out to eat, doing activities that I love, spending time with people that I love, working on passion projects and stuff like that. I don't necessarily think that societal pressures has impacted my dating life because society cannot impact the dating pool. It's trash. There's pee in it. And these ninjas are crazy. And they got a lot of audacity. So I don't really think that impacts my dating life because people are going to people. I genuinely do think that there is somebody for everybody. But I think that in order to find the person that's specifically designed for you, you have to be really open, honest, and transparent about what you want and what you need and say no to every person that is not that. So that means when you get a red flag, leave him or her alone. Go somebody, find somebody else, get somebody else to do it. And so that's what I say about that. And as far as the best dating advice that I can give to somebody, advice that I'm taking myself is, I would say like people always try to make people feel bad for having a list, but I have a list. I don't care. I have it. It's in my phone. But what I will say about my list, not that it's nobody's business, is that obviously it has somebody on there that's attractive, but two things. One on there, pretty much most, a majority of my list is just like the vision that I have for my life and my family, as well as how I want a person to treat me and what I expect. Also, everything that is on my list are things that I can reciprocate. I am not asking for anything that I cannot do. I think you gotta be realistic, people. Don't ask for Denzel and you lazy, okay? And you don't want to do anything, you want to be taken care of. That's not realistic. But I think other than that, I would say write down what you need. Write down your non-negotiables. Write down things that you cannot live without. For instance, a non-negotiable for me is a person that is a man of faith and that believes in God. He gotta believe in God. He gotta have a relationship with God. That is a non-negotiable. If that man got everything else, but he ain't got a relationship with God, I wish you well, but I'm dipping. And then know the difference between a non-negotiable and a want. A want is somebody that is 6 feet and dark skin. That's probably nice, but if you 5'2 like me, somebody 5'8 or 5'5 will do. He's taller than you anyway, so whatever. So I would say write down what you need, write down your non-negotiables, pray about it, and stand firm on your boundaries. Say no to everything and everyone that doesn't align with what you and God talked about and what your non-negotiables are. And while you're in your waiting season, like, don't just wait for your person, but get busy in doing things that bring you joy. Like, you know, still try to advance in your career and network and do all those things. Girl, if you want to go to Bali, do a solo trip or ask a friend to go with you. If you want to launch a business, do it. If you, you know, want to get a townhome, like, save and budget for it. Like, don't, my thing is, like, in your waiting season, don't postpone enjoyment. I don't think that you should do that. I think that you should schedule enjoyment. I think that you should do things that bring you joy and happiness, because you never know. Like, maybe, because if you're sitting around, laying around in your bed in the dark, maybe if you would have went out and scheduled enjoyment and went to talk golf, you would have met your man. But since you decided to be negative Nancy, you didn't meet him. And that's just an example. That's just like an exaggerated example. But I do think that you should get out and enjoy your life, because like when my man meet me, he gonna meet me enjoying my life. He's gonna meet me scheduling enjoying. He's gonna meet me being happy and healthy and the best version of myself. And prayerfully, when he sees that, he's gonna add on to it and get with the program and come on. What about you, Fred? Like, what is your take on, you know, societal pressures on relationship, and like, how do you feel like that has impacted you now?
First of all, I love every single piece of advice that you just said. I was even writing some things down for myself based off of what you said. But I think the most important thing that you said was, don't wait to live your life. Like, fill your life up with things that you have and he will come along or she will come along. So to answer the question for me, I would say social media will have you thinking you ain't doing enough, you ain't working enough, you ain't hustling enough, you ain't praying enough. So societal pressures impacted me the most when I was going through like my period of loneliness. And so what I had to do for me was remove myself from like following certain social accounts, watching certain shows, watching certain reels, certain YouTube channels that made me feel like I was missing something, doing something wrong. Because for me personally, I've been through so much in relationships that I refuse to settle just because society says you should be married by this time, you should have kids by this time, you should be building a family. But nah, I'm not settling because I feel like what I had to learn, and I'm still actively doing this, is surrendering my plans to God. It's not like he's withholding. He knows the desire that I have to be married or have this dream job or live in this certain area. Like, he knows those are the desires, but just because it's not happening now don't mean I'm going to go be with the first man and say what's up because I'm tired of waiting. So just because I'm tired of waiting or the waiting season seems forever long, I refuse to settle just for convenience or settle just for validation on social media or just so I can feel confident in that moment. That's what I'm not doing. Okay. So let me just make that clear. So, also, like you, Shelby, I can be thankful for a family that does not put societal pressures on me. Like, my parents don't be asking me, where my grandbabies at? Oh, you know, where my son-in-law? Like, they already know because they know what I have gone through dealing with all that stuff. They like, you know what? Take your time, girl. Because honestly, who you decide to do life with is the most serious decision you will ever make. So this is not just, oh, we look cute on the gram, so let's just go ahead and do it. Like, no, this is serious. So I can be thankful for a family that supports me and doesn't put those pressures on me, because I think that that's worse than societal pressures, is when your own family or your circle of friends put pressures on you. Right. A lot of people out here, I'm going to be honest, a lot of people out here are just checking off their boxes. Like, okay, I got this house. Okay, I got this marriage. Okay, I got this. I got that. But for me personally, I'm not going to follow what society is telling me I should do or be. I'm going to check with God before I be checking off my boxes, okay? That's just what I'm going to do. And like I said before, I'm just going to surrender that plan, because it is not easy, y'all. I'm not sitting up here talking like it's just a cakewalk. It's actually very hard. So I used to struggle with thinking when certain things aren't happening on the timeline that I had in my mind, I was thinking that I was being restricted, or like God was withholding something from me, or I'm stuck from having the dream job, the dream home, the dream spouse, whatever. And I was like, God, ain't nobody hiring me. Ain't nobody checking for me. Ain't nobody asking me out. Don't nobody want my number. Like, what is going on? Like, why am I so restricted? And I remember, I will never forget this. My pastor said one time, you are not being restricted, you are being reserved. And I could have felt like right then and there.
I bet.
Reserved for those things that you desire. So I hope that that advice, I hope that that encourages someone else like it did for me. So that's what I would say to
that. That was good, friend. Like, I'm going to have to like put that in my little memory when I get to tripping.
Because I get to tripping about every 7 to 10 business days. So let's keep it moving to our next segment, which is the journey. So this is where Shelby and I will discuss our journey to building all things melanin. So one thing we want to discuss today is, we have always said, Shelby, you don't have to have it all figured out to move forward. And or, in other words, everything is figure outable, right? So what are some things that we've had to figure out as we go with all things melanin?
Everything. Absolutely everything. Because I honestly don't think that there's a blueprint to the specific vision and dream and mission that God gave us. So I feel like we've had to figure out everything. I think that there have been things that have inspired and guided us and given us an idea, but we've literally had to figure out everything. And I think the three main things that we've had to figure are how to launch a brand, our podcast, and how to maintain a brand while being multifaceted women. And for us, that means while working at 9 to 5, because these bills got to get paid, and doing our own side things and following our own side passions. And I think that that is something that we're still figuring out. But I think that's part of the journey. That's part of the testimony. That's part of who God called us to be and sharing all those things. As far as how to launch a brand, I think we had to figure it out because we had never did it. And so a lot of what we did was, first and foremost, the marketing knowledge and expertise that we already had, but also just using the resources available to us. So listening to other podcasts, getting on YouTube, reading blogs, asking people, having conversations, and taking all the resources that we could find, disseminating that information and breaking it down and taking what we could and guessing and just doing it scared. And I think when you're trying to figure it out, I think something to note is you're not going to know all the answers. God don't want you to have the answers. He wants you to be obedient and to do what he's called you to do. If you do what you can do, God will do the rest. Don't know where that came from, but that's the first thing. Second thing, how to launch a podcast. So when Erica and I launched our podcast, we launched it a year after we started. So we launched it probably about fall 2018. And at that point, I had really never listened to a podcast that much. I think the first time that I actually listened to a full podcast is when we went to Essence Fest that year and we went to The Read. I absolutely love The Read now. I listen to it weekly. And I think for me, and we went to see a live podcast because the people we were with at the time, that was their thing. That wasn't even me and Erica's thing, but that was their thing. But I think that it really gave Erica and I a really good idea of how a podcast could potentially be and what it was supposed to be like. And so when Erica and I were getting ready to launch our podcast, we sat down and we thought about, okay, like, what is the purpose of this podcast? What do we want people to get out of this? Like, how is this going to be valuable? How is this going to be a resource? And I think before you launch anything or you do anything, you need to figure out what your why is and what the purpose is. Like, what is it serving and who is it serving? Now, when I say that, I don't mean that it necessarily matters how many people it's going to reach. Because when Eric and I first started podcasting, I kid you not, maybe 50 people would listen to it. And that can be very discouraging. But Erica and I knew at the time, it doesn't matter how many people are listening. It matters if you're obedient and you keep on going. And as we kept on going, we got better. Our sound got better. Our quality got better. Our intros got better. Our transitions got better. Me and Erica learned how to, you know, play off of each other when we're podcasting. If you notice, like, I usually start the podcast with a lot of energy, but every single segment that we go to, Erica transitions us because she's just a lot better at it. And I'm really awkward at it. And that's okay. Like, we're a team and that's how teams work. And so I think for us figuring out how to do a podcast, and we listened to tons of podcasts and we read tons of articles. And from that information, we broke it down and we created an outlet or a, not an outlet, but we created a structure that worked for us and has continued to work for us. And it's continued to connect with people and our melanin fam. And I think the last thing that we've had to figure out is how to maintain a brand while working a 9 to 5. So in full disclosure, when Eric and I first started our brand, we were like, we're going to do this 365 days of the year. We're going to go hard in the pay and we're going to work. And let me tell you, burnout is real. As Erica said in another episode, let me tell you, listen, if you don't hear nothing out here, take a break, schedule a break, schedule some downtime. And I think I think that we needed to burn out to know that we needed structure. We needed to figure out that, hey, like, this is not sustainable and obtainable for us. And I think that in pushing ourselves to the limit, we learned that, okay, like, we need to do pretty much whatever we do in seasons. So we do our podcast in seasons, for example, and that's how we run our brand as well. So if you pay attention to when we release things. We do things in seasons. So you'll see us active for like 2 or 3 months, and then you'll see us go ghost for 2 months, and then we'll pop back up with another season for 2 or 3 months. That gives Erica and I time to recharge. That gives us time to continue to pay these bills with our 9 to 5, but that also gives us time to, you know, work on our, to show up and be friends for each other, but also to work on our, and our, personal endeavors. And so I think with our brand, we've had to figure out a lot of things, and I think that sometimes when you don't know what you don't know, that can be overwhelming. But I just want to remind you that if you have a dream and a vision and God gave it to you, he's not really concerned about the resources that you have or how you gonna do it. Like, the how is in him. Like, he's just asking you to be obedient. He's asking you to take one step. So if you take one step, then you'll take another step and you'll keep going. God will always meet you where you can't go on. And so I really encourage you that if you are scared to do something, whether that's in your career, whether that's in your brand, whether that's in your business, whether that's in your love life with your friends, whatever you're scared to do, if God has been laying on your heart, he ain't gonna get off the gas till you do it. So you might as well, you know, do it. And I think, and I say this all the time, like, if you do all that you can do, God will do the rest. What about you, friend? Like, what do you feel like something is that we've had to figure out or do and navigate?
First of all, I'd just like to say, sis, you is preaching, okay? That blessed me. But also, I laughed when you were like, yeah, me and Erica, we're going to go hard in the paint. I think we literally named the episode, We Going Hard in the Paint. And this is not what it was giving. It was giving. We went hard in the paint, all right, had to relax. But no, my exact answer was what you said first, was everything. We had to figure everything out. I mean, obviously, if you do know our story, Shelby and I met when we were at work, and we worked for like this marketing company. So we did have knowledge of marketing and how to build a website and a social media page. But other than that, we had to figure out how to create graphics, how, even the business side of things, how to set up a business account, how to trademark, what is the DBA, like all of these things that we needed to have in place, how to edit videos, how to record podcasts, how to write podcasts. Like, we've literally had to figure it all out as we have went along, and we have done it, I feel like, beautifully. I feel like the reason why we even named this segment The Journey is because people forget that it is a and not just a destination. We are out here trying to get somewhere, get to the bag, get to the goal, like, but nobody's enjoying like the actual journey that you're going through to where you want to be, you know what I'm saying? So another thing I feel like we had to figure out, or we still have to figure out in different seasons, is times when we have to pivot, especially when we were in the pandemic, or just life happenings, different seasons in both of our lives, where now we're in two different locations. It's like being able to pivot and say, hey, how can we make this work? And even when a lot of things were happening with the pandemic and just the world going crazy, we still stuck to our guns, what we wanted to do and how we wanted to produce our podcast and what we wanted to talk about, even though we did say, okay, we're going to pivot a little bit and make sure we address some things. So just learning how to pivot and but still stay true to yourself. I think that that's the most important thing too, because as we grow and as we get more, as our melanin fam grows too, we still want to make sure that our audience knows that we standing on what our core is, you know what I'm saying? So that's the only thing that I would add about how we have to figure it out. And we still figuring it out, y'all. We're not here knowing everything. We still out here just figuring it out as we go. So before we continue with the rest of the show, we just want to shout out some of our Melanin fam for listening in. So we want to give a shout out today to Nicole Lene, who left us a review. So she said, this is definitely one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. It's unapologetic and really relatable. Yes, queens. So thank you, Nicole, for listening in and supporting us. We really appreciate it. So if you out there enjoy our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show. So this segment we're heading into is the mentor moment. So this is where Shelby and I will read a listener's letter and then give our advice on it. So the letter reads, Hi, Shelby and Erica. I love your take on this. I would consider myself to be a very ambitious person, and I have big goals and big dreams and visions. But I'm having a hard time with feeling stuck, like nothing is moving forward, nothing is really changing, and I'm starting to feel like I'm in a holding pattern. Sometimes I'm not sure if I'm supposed to wait and be patient or just go in a totally different direction when nothing seems to be working. Do you have any advice on what to do when you feel stuck?
You can go first.
Okay. So, well, let me tell you, like I would tell myself. So I'm speaking to you, but I'm speaking to myself. Be patient with yourself. Give yourself grace. Give yourself permission to pause and regroup. Because like we were just kind of joking about in our earlier segment, you can go so hard in the paint and then exhaust yourself and be like, man, this ain't working. Like, I don't know how to make it 3 months. This ain't working. And if it hasn't worked the way you want it to work, does that mean it's not working? So it's okay to revisit your goals. And like I mentioned earlier, to pivot, but don't force a change out of not seeing the fruit. Because you got to remember, when you plant a seed, that is not the same day you see the fruit, right? So you have to be patient. You have to water it. You have to make sure that you are taking care of what you're supposed to be taking care of. And at the right time, it'll bloom. So like I said, I'm saying that to myself. But you have to realize that things work out the way that they should in the time that it should. And I know it can be frustrating, like not knowing if you're doing the right thing or if you need to just do something else. But don't give up so quickly would be my advice, because it can take years, it could take decades to reach your desired goal of success. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't give up so soon. And then also, I would also suggest to celebrate your small wins. I'm sure there are some small wins that you can think of, or don't even call them small wins, but just things that you've accomplished along the way. Celebrate those. Maybe it's some things that you've looked over. If you're a super hard worker like Shelby and I, sometimes we don't even pay attention to what we accomplished. Okay, that's cute. Moving on to the next thing. But make sure you stop, pause, and celebrate those things. Revisit those wins and be proud of how far you've come, and just stay the course. If there are areas of opportunity for you to change, ain't nothing wrong with like brainstorming that. And be, for example, if your social audience is on Instagram and you're like, well, this ain't really, I'm not really getting much engagement from this. Maybe try to add another social platform. Maybe TikTok would be better. Maybe Facebook would be better. I don't know. But make sure you do little changes like that versus just going in a totally different direction. And just this whole journey is literally trial and error. So for example, just don't put all your eggs in one basket and just give up. So just make those small adjustments. And like I said before, just be patient with yourself and just remember you're not actually stuck. It's just not the right timing. Okay, that would be my advice. What would you say, Shelby?
Yeah, I love all of that. And I agree with, obviously I agree with everything that you said. I think for me, just speaking from personal experience, anytime I'm feeling stuck, I found that it's really a time for me to rest and reset. And I think that so many times, kind of to your point, like we were joking earlier, like we were going hard in the pain and, you know, we were doing all these things. I think that when I'm stuck, a lot of times I'm overwhelmed, I'm tired. I don't feel like things are going my way. I'm not seeing any progress. But a lot of times, like, we don't see what God is doing in the background. And I think that a lot of times when we're in a season of feeling stuck, in a season of waiting, God is building our endurance. God is building our tenacity. He is building our strength. He is building our endurance because he sees what's on the other side of what we're working toward. He knows that if we get to our destination and we're not built tough for this and we ain't tightened up, we're gonna fail and we're gonna lose it. And I think that one thing that I always pray is, God, help me to maintain and keep or increase what I prayed for and what I've attained. And I think that if you're feeling stuck, I think taking it as an opportunity to reset, like go do something that brings you joy, like go do something that is not a part of even what you're trying to do, because sometimes we get so wrapped up in our goals and our dreams. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but I do think that you should have a degree of separation from it. For instance, Erica and I are really good friends, right? And Eric and I do a lot of things together. There was a season where Eric and I worked together. We did this podcast together. And then outside of that, we were together 24/7. Like probably out of 7 days, we were together 3 or 4 of those days. And we worked together. So that means we were really always together. And I think that when we were feeling stuck a lot of times, I'll be like, friend, we need to just do something that's separate from this. And a lot of times when we felt stuck and we did something separate from this, we're like, we're not going to talk about work. We're not going to talk about all things melanin. We're not going to talk about our personal endeavors. We're just going to go have fun. And I found that when we did that and we came back, I realized that it wasn't necessarily that we were stuck. We might have felt we were either uninspired or tired. And we needed a fresh set of eyes and we needed, you know, just to change up our scenery. So I would encourage you to give yourself some grace and to take a break. And maybe that break is a day. Maybe that break is a week. Maybe that break is a month. Like, you know what you can do. And I would say go schedule some enjoyment and do something that brings you happiness and joy that doesn't pertain to that. Because from personal experience, when I have taken time to pour into myself, I randomly get inspired and I get all these ideas and I get a burst of energy. So I would encourage you, in addition to what everything that Erica said, is to do something that brings you joy and happiness set apart from this. And I think that you would be surprised how re-inspired you come back, Billy.
I love that. Y'all, we've been giving y'all some free advice, gems, whatever you want to call it. Call us Dr. Phil, Iyanla, whoever you want to call it.
Please don't call me Iyanla. Please don't. Call me Dr. Phil, but don't call me Iyanla. I want to be very clear. Very clear. Because here's the thing. Random note. Iyanla, she cool. But if you ever go back and watch some of her stuff, I'll be like, that was a bit much. Like, you remember that time? This is random. I'm sorry. I'm going on a tangent. But do you remember that time that man had all them babies and she brought them dolls in there? Like, why would you do that? And he got mad. Yeah. Like, why would you bring all them dolls in there?
I remember that. I remember one episode where she like slammed her hand on the table and she was like, not on my watch. Your mama was a crackhead. I'm like, oh my God, that's so rude. Oh my God.
Do not call me Iyanla, because sometimes, like, it's just not my speed. Like, sometimes I see stuff, or when she was going off on Evelyn Lozada, I was like, girl, you did this for ratings. Like, I don't, like, sometimes I just feel like she's not that sincere, in my opinion. Okay. Like, I'm not saying she's not a professional, but please don't call me Iyanla. I'll take Dr. Phil. Maybe even Judge Mathis, but don't call me Iyanla. I'm sorry. That was a tangent that y'all didn't ask for. Continue, Erica. I'm so unprofessional.
No, but I will say something that I heard Iyanla say, and it pertains to this, and then I'll close this out. Okay. She said that you cannot pour from an empty cup. We know that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
She made a good point of saying, take the time to fill your own cup so that it overflows. And what overflows goes to the people you can give to. And the rest of it. I was like, that is beautiful. So
that was beautiful.
When you feel stuck, maybe your cup is empty. You know, go fill your own cup till it overflows. And that's all we're going to say. So if you have a question that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG @allthingsmelanin__. So today we will leave you with words of encouragement coming from 1 Peter 5:6-7. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So I wanted to share this, specifically the 7th verse, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Because for me personally, I feel like sometimes I get in my head and like thinking that the things I'm worried about or that's causing me anxiety doesn't matter in the big scheme of like what's actually going on in the world. Like, girl, you being a little dramatic, like, girl, you relax. But that's not true. That's just the enemy getting to me and maybe not wanting me to pray about it. So what I've done is I have incorporated this new thing into my prayer time, and I'm going to share it. Maybe some of you can do it too. But it's called Cashier Care. So I got the idea from Heather Lindsay, Shelby. She said that when she gets up in the morning in her prayer time, she does this Cashier Care activity where everything that's on her heart, her mind, that's giving her anxiety in that moment or that morning, or that day, she writes it down. Then after she writes it down, she prays over it, she writes a prayer, whatever. She balls the piece of paper up and she literally just puts it somewhere as like a gesture of, I'm giving this to you. Like, this is my anxiety. You care for me. You do it. You deal with it. So right. I started incorporating that in my prayer time. God has really given me so much peace. He has really given me so many answers, so many confirmations. Ever since, it could be the smallest thing that's given me anxiety. It'll be like, well, the fact that I wrote that down and said, hey, God, I'm giving this to you, that's just his love for me saying, I actually care about that. Like, don't think it's not a big enough deal to come to me about. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I wanted to share first. So what does this mean to you, Shelby?
I love that, friend. I genuinely do. And I only have like a little tidbit to add to that. I feel like for me, just kind of piggybacking off of what you said, this is honestly just a reminder me to come to God and just really be open, honest, and transparent, and just like literally like empty the clip with what's going on in my life and what I'm feeling like. Because I feel like a lot of times, like, we be doing these little cute prayers, these little service level prayers, when God already know what's going on in your heart. He already know what you upset about. He already know what you mad about. So why don't you just come to him and be honest about it? Like, I'm in a season in my life where I talk to God about everything. Let me tell you, I talk to him about if I'm mad, if I'm upset, if I'm angry, if I don't like what he did. Like, he already know. So I might as well tell him. And I find that, like, when I come and I, like, empty the clip in prayer and I lay it all at his feet, like, I literally sometimes feel like a physical weight being lifted off of me. And I think that sometimes, like, when we're feeling anxiety or burdens or we have all these things going on in our lives, and I'm not gonna lie, sometimes it feels like nothing can help. Just being honest. But I think that the beauty, even in seasons where we can't see it or feel it or understand it, is to know that God is going to always be present. He's going to always want to talk to you and hear from you. And I think that, like I said, this is really just a reminder to come to God and to lay it all at his feet and to empty the clip and to let it go and to give it to him. Because I genuinely do believe that he desires to give us the desires of our heart and that he desires to cover and keep us. But I think that a lot of times we forget that we have to do our part and we have to be in relationship with him. And in order to be in relationship with God, we have to spend time with God.
Yes, that is beautiful. And on that note, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Close your eyes if you're driving. Don't do that. Just sway with it. You know your heart. All right. Dear God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, just thanking you for your word and thanking you for your promises. And thank you for your reminder in 1 Peter 5 that all we have to do is cast our cares, our worries, our anxieties, anything and everything onto you, because you genuinely care for each of us. Thank you that your hand is on each of our lives. Thank you that you are in control. Thank you that all things are working together for our good, not some things, but all things. I ask that you give us peace to those who may be feeling stuck or like they're in a holding pattern. Thank you that we can trust you fully and that you never lie. Thank you that we can rest in you. I pray today that it is a reminder for everyone listening to give it all over to you. And I pray that you show up and you show out in a way that we've never seen before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.